The talk of Northern Nevada. Speak out. 884-9910. FM News Talk 99.1.
Hello. I'm Chad Potter. That's Jay Biggs. We're live and local in Northern Nevada every Saturday morning, 9 to noon, on this here radio station.
That's right. And right now in the studio, live with us, is Todd Clary. He is a money coach with Clarity Financial Coaching, and he is here to talk about money coaching, which is extremely different than financial advising. Am I right, Todd?
That's exactly right.
And that's why we got you here with us today to talk about that.
Yes, indeed. When I go and talk to people and I tell them I'm a financial coach, most of the time they ask me, oh, that means you're a financial advisor? And I'm not. I stay away from all of the stock advice.
Right. And this is interesting because off air, we've been talking to you quite a bit about this, like just trying to get an idea of exactly what it is you do. And you know, it is interesting what you do because, yeah, you have all these financial advisors that come on and are like, do this, do that. You're going to more lead people through kind of a healthy way to budget and spend your money and stuff like that, day-to-day stuff, right? It's not so much...
Absolutely.
Okay.
A lot of us, what we do is we get the money and then we spend it on what we want, mm-hmm. and then we forget everything that we spent it on because we're not tracking anything. We don't even know what we spent on Starbucks. We don't know how much we spent going out to eat.
Right.
And we wonder where all the money went at the end of the month.
That's the biggest mistake you see?
Starbucks?
That people don't keep track of the money going out? Is that?
Definitely the biggest mistake I see. Most of the time, my first session or two is actually just helping my client build a budget from scratch, looking at what they want to do, make sure they have all their necessities covered in a sufficient way so they're not stressing out about food or whether they're going to get behind on their rent or their mortgage or anything like that. And then we branch off from there from all the other things.
Right.
Okay. What foolish ideas do people have? Like, I'm going to get a bunch of Bitcoins.
I'm going to say it again.
What do you say to somebody who thinks that way?
About a bunch of Bitcoins specifically?
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting, but...
don't exist, do they?
Physically, no. They don't actually physically exist. What little I know about the blockchain is that it's all data manifested between computers, and it's all stored on hard disks or thumb drives, things like that.
Right.
And personally, I don't have any Bitcoin. And once again, I stay away from all that advice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
and you should. It's probably all stored on Hunter Biden's laptop anyway. But anyways,
you like that.
That being said, you know, here's something we've talked about, like dumb spending. And John even said this earlier about buying the Starbucks. I've always said this. I still don't understand. Everybody in retail that I see now has a $5 to $7, maybe $8 Starbucks in their hand at all times. And I'm sitting there going, after taxes, there's no way they didn't work at least an hour of their day for that drink.
At least. And they're not even tracking it. They don't even know how much they're doing.
But it's a habit.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, even I have coffee, but I say to myself, I mean, listen, when the budget went down at my house, I said, okay, I'm going from Starbucks coffee pods to Great Value,
mm-hmm.
which I did, and now I drink coffee pods from Great Value, which are extremely cheap.
Yes.
But so I've made little cuts, but I make little cuts here and there. I went from 91 gas to 87, you know?
Yeah.
Just little things like that.
Not a lot of people put that much forethought into what they're doing. They think, oh, I just need my coffee. I need my pick-me-up. And
right.
they want to go straight for the thing that they're used to. And that's something that I actually want to co-opt with a lot of my clients. Is I want to help them build habits. You know, you go to a Starbucks out of habit because they have a consistent thing that you can get. You know how much you're going to pay, and it's just part of your routine. What if part of your routine in the morning was also, I'm going to look at my budget to see where I'm at today, to see where I have money to spend.
I do that almost every hour.
It's a good habit to be in.
You run into and you hear about these people who are working two jobs, but, oh, I'm in trouble with the rent. How does that happen? You know, it's
easy.
Like,
it happens very easily.
Yeah.
Just continuing to go places like Starbucks, eating out three or four times a week. You got to have a big car, and so you have a huge car payment.
I had somebody in my Uber just the other day, and just the realest old lady, and she was like, you know, you need at least $100 a day to live anymore. And it's true, you know, and if you look at that, I mean, how many days is there in a month? 30. I mean, that's $3,000. You need $3,000 a month pretty much to function.
If that's the way you're going, yeah.
Well,
depending on how many people in your household, I was telling you guys that my wife and I, we've got four kids.
I got two teens. Yeah, I know.
So is that $100 a day for all of you, or is it just...
That's if I don't give in and go to Canes like they want. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I still don't understand that. I mean, like, believe me, I try my best. I mean, am I wrong? I'm almost starting to believe, Todd, it's cheaper to eat out than it is to go and buy food and cook it at home.
I would disagree. I haven't actually run the numbers myself, but depending on how you're doing it, like, for instance, my personal budget is, for a family of six, $1,200 a month for food, just to go out. I can't imagine if I went out for fast food or eating out as many times as we would in a given week or a month, that it would be less than that.
Well,
there are cases, and I see what Jay is saying, because I notice a couple of fast food restaurants have really held the line. I'm surprised they haven't raised their prices. Yet the supermarket, man, Walmart was selling Cool Whip for $10. Did you hear about that?
Oh, I didn't see that.
I bought Cool Whip for 90 cents last week. What are you talking about?
It's where you go.
Again, but great value.
But even Walmart, oh my gosh.
Yeah, a lot of people got to make those changes, because which is more important to you? Is it more important that you stay within your limits, or is it more important that you get what you want? Right. You want the Cool Whip because you like the consistency or the sweetness, or are you willing to settle for great value?
Well, yeah, true, true. Well, you know, that is true. And I always say, my favorite saying is, I'm a baller on a budget. I want the cool things, but or I say this. I always say that I have a what's the name of that place down south? A Pottery Barn. I have a Pottery Barn. Pottery Barn wants and a TJ Maxx budget.
Mm.
So, you know, that's pretty much where my life is. I'm always trying to find the best deals. And you can call me thrifty or frugal or whatever you want, but I think
I could call you smart.
Well, I was just going to say, cheap. I don't think that people who are financially well off, unless it's something that's just handed to them or it's passed down generationally, I don't think they become rich, from at least where I'm at, by not being frugal.
Absolutely not. The people that do become millionaires do so because they are intentionally doing things like budgeting. They're not going out and buying new furniture when their furniture wears out. They go reupholster it.
Right.
They get it repaired. When they drive cars until they physically cannot drive anymore. That kind of thing.
Right.
And
right.
All those little changes over time can add up. And especially if you are consistently putting money away. One of the things that I want my clients to have is a fully funded emergency fund. Not just for the really big things, but for an unexpected job loss for up to 6 months. I mean, how much more at peace could you feel about your life if you knew that you lost your job, or just off the top of my head, some other global pandemic comes around and shuts the country down for an extended period of time? You could be fine. You know you would have the money even if you couldn't work for a certain amount.
Well, you know, they say 3 months is good to have in your savings.
I would argue at least 3 months.
Right.
More than
I
that.
I hear
would be
the
better.
Spirit of Dave Ramsey in this man.
A little bit. He's
That's
my wife
not
pointed.
How I would spend the money. Let's go call her two.
My wife pointed me to Dave Ramsey back in around 2010,
oh, you're a
2011.
Disciple. Oh,
yeah. And I've been following him ever since, pretty much. Now I'm a true believer. At first, I thought I could do it better than him, but I was wrong.
Well, I love the basic rules, but, however, I'm just getting into budgeting and being tax savvy. And, Todd, it is all so complicated.
It is.
And I speak from my age here. I just learned this, that I have to watch out for the RMD tax bomb. Investments that you have to cash out when you're over 65. If you're not smart, you have a huge tax liability with them. And also, if you lose a good job and a good income, Medicare still charges you these high rates because they use the high income you had 2 years ago, even though you're unemployed. There are ways out of these fees and taxes, but it's complicated. And I think it's complicated on purpose. Most people are not that savvy, and I think the government profits and rakes in more money out of us because of how complicated they made their tax and their retirement hoops. I think it's done on purpose.
It may be done on purpose. Unfortunately, you're going to have to talk to someone else about that, because that's not really my area of expertise. I can give a lot of very general information you can get just about anywhere, but as far
as... But you hear me, right?
Oh, I hear you. Yeah, it can definitely be a problem.
Absolutely. Well, you know, one of the things we talked about off air, Todd, was some of the things that you do as far as like coaching on how folks can build their credit with small things like purchases that you're paying off and whatnot.
Yep.
Let's go ahead and just put this one out there. Does it work or not? Finger hut.
What?
Personally,
what's that?
I think it. That's how I would have built my credit when I did have a credit
card.
What's
finger hut?
Wow, John doesn't know what finger. I figured this was a thing of the past that, but most people, maybe me and yours age, would.
Are they hiring?
Shoot, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Finger hut.
Finger hut. Yeah, what does that mean?
Okay, so finger hut's old. Back in the day, in the catalogs, where you could order things, they would send you the catalog online, or not online, but in the mail, in like the 1990s, and you would buy things on it, and you didn't have to have credit to buy it.
Oh, before the internet.
And they told you it would build your credit, but you could be like 16 and go on there. It was almost like
build a whole list of things, and all of a sudden you owe like $500, $600, $700.
Yes.
And
but they said it built your credit. So I know a lot of kids back in the day that did Finger Hut that were like 17, 18 years old when I was growing up in Missouri. And I don't know if it paid off or not because I never did it.
Well, it depends on whether or not they paid it off. Because if it was technically a debt like that, yeah, they would have had to have paid it off or it's going to negatively affect their credit going forward.
Well,
or eventually it racked up so much interest and then Finger Hut would have been like, well, now you owe us a lot of money and send them to collections.
Columbia House, we still owe them for the CDs.
Oh, my gosh.
Columbia House.
I remember. I remember Columbia House.
You got a corn CD from them, too. Don't lie. Come on.
All right. I got a question. Is the stock market a casino? And if so, where are all the free drinks?
Well, again, financial advising is not what I do.
I know. I had to get that joke in. Don't you?
It can definitely seem like that at times.
He waited for that one to creep in.
I was waiting.
Sometimes it feels like it. I look at my own retirement and think, ooh, that hurt.
I know.
You know, okay, so I don't mind Todd even talking about myself, for instance, with some of the things I've done even on air as far as things that may or may not build or help your credit. I do want to talk about these. We do got to take a quick break.
That's fine.
So let's go to break. You're going to stay with us for another segment. So hold on here. It's Live and Local with John and Jay, 99.1 FM Talk at Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3.
FM Talk on 92.3 FM in Smith and Mason Valley. 99.1 FM Talk for Reno, Tahoe, and all of Northern Nevada.
It's Live and Local with John and Jay, 99.1 FM Talk, Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3. Time to take a quick look at traffic brought to you by Ahern Rentals, Hardware and Supply, Carson Valley's favorite hardware store. Protect your Second Amendment values and more in a Liberty Safe. The perfect size Liberty Safe is waiting for you at Ahern Rentals, Hardware and Supply. NHP at this time, still not reporting any incidents, except in Mina. I said it right. It looks like just a Mina collision going on there on the US 95. But other than that, CHP at this time is reporting, it looks like 89 and River Street outside of Truckee and US 50 at Myers, two separate incidents to watch out for. And the 50 has chain and snows and 431, a short stint between here and Incline.
What about Middlegate?
What about Middlegate?
Good burgers here.
Oh, really? Okay, well.
I love throwing them off.
Well, Middlegate does exist. I do know this, but I started thinking to myself, like, what about Middlegate? Oh, yeah, duh. John's just throwing
you know, it's one of those places where people staple their dollars on the ceiling and the walls.
I thought that was JT's in Gardnerville.
And there's one show-off who put a 20 up there. Just drives me nuts. Anyway, we are talking money. See how I got into
that? Yeah, absolutely.
Todd Cleary.
Clarity Financial.
Who loves dealing with people's financial issues, why they're spending too much. He is what is called a financial coach. Of all things, what got you fascinated? Was it Dave Ramsey who got you?
That was part of it.
Yeah.
But the other thing is I did some soul searching and I was thinking, man, I don't want to be talking with computers. That's what I'm trained to do. I'm a software engineer by trade, but I don't want to be talking with computers for the rest of my career till I retire.
Right.
What do I want to do? What can I be really good at? And this is something that I found that I really have a desire to do. I want to talk with people. I would talk with people at work about the wise ways
cutting
of handling
their
money.
Expenses.
It's like I say, man, I love to talk. I talk for a living. I talk for free all day. I might as well get paid, right? So when you're doing
Absolutely.
Something you love, you're never working a day in your life, right?
That's right. And the joy I get when I see some of my clients get it and they start realizing, oh, I can make this happen. Here's what I can do instead of thinking, what can't I do? How am I going to make this all work? Is so rewarding. It's a lot of fun to just walk.
Does your wife
through
call you a penny pincher?
She might have at one point, definitely.
And then she got into it, right?
She got me into it, actually.
It's kind of fun, actually, to see what you can save and accumulate.
believe it or not, in the Dave Ramsey vernacular, I'm actually the nerd, but I'm a spender of a nerd. So I actually want to spend the money, but I do care about the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So no, right. At one point through this whole process, she probably would have called me a penny pincher, but not at the beginning. I was looking for every way I could make an excuse to buy more stuff.
Favorite money-saving tips?
Money-saving tips. Here's one that I like a lot, and it's based on a construction principle. So you've heard the phrase, measure twice, cut once.
Uh-huh.
So what if you shopped twice before you spent once?
I was just about to tell you something that I do myself personally, and I think it goes along with this. I will walk through, like, let's say Target, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I will pick up everything I want. And slowly throughout the store, my brain tells me, you don't need this, really.
Mm-hmm.
You really don't, truly. You worked. And then here's what I start doing. I start breaking down how much I make per hour here at the radio station or Uber. And I start thinking, I worked 2 hours for that item. Or I worked, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And
so is it worth that time?
Yeah. And by the time I get to the checkout at Target, I might have one thing.
Yeah.
What I really truly came for or whatever. But as I'm going through the store, I'm one of those people who I'm sure those like 16-year-old kids who have the job that just go around the store like picking up stuff and putting it back. The restockers. I'm one of those guys probably. But I do that myself just because it's like, you know, I want to spend. But like I said, you know, like my brain does go to the, you really don't truly need this.
Absolutely. And that's
no fun, are you?
No.
A lot of people get in trouble that with Amazon. You know, you just one click, 2 days later, it shows up at your door and just, oh, click, click, click. Hey,
right.
And it doesn't really feel like you're spending money. But what if you took a little bit of time?
My save for later card at Amazon is $1.2 million, by the way.
Oh, wow. That's impressive. But what if you took all the time to go do all the shopping, look at all the options and see what you could get for a thing that you want? Say, for example, I don't know, you want a new car. Maybe not a new car. Maybe you want a new TV. What if you went out and looked at what you could get in a new TV? The size, the clarity, the resolution, all that stuff.
Right.
You did all that and you spent some time and it's like, oh, that's great. But you didn't make the purchase then. And you went and you slept on it for at least 24 hours. And then you engaged in that fun part of the shopping again. Go out and look at what your options are. Oh, this could work in this place. Oh, I like this option or not. If you don't even want to do the shopping again, you've just saved yourself buying the new TV. So that's one way to keep yourself from overspending is to do the fun part of it twice before you even spent the money.
Let's get to the details. Okay, supermarkets. Let me guess. Winco and Walmart, right, for you?
Well, with four kids, it's actually Costco and Walmart.
Okay.
So.
Oh, Costco. Okay. What about television?
What about television?
Was it cable, streaming, what?
Oh, at least in my house, it's pretty much just streaming. We don't have, all our cable is just for the internet. We don't actually have cable TV.
Do you have one streaming service or more than
one? We've got two or three, but a couple of them are bundled. Like we used to have Netflix, but now it's just like Disney Plus.
You can
Hulu.
Get by on one. You know,
yeah.
I have Amazon Prime. I don't think I'm going to live long enough to see all the good stuff on there.
Absolutely not. There is so much content being made on all those, those services.
Prime is free if you're a Prime member too.
Yep. It is.
The television. All right.
But that's also if you want to pay for Prime monthly or you want to pay once a year. We're not even a part of Amazon Prime because we don't really order that much stuff.
See,
you
always
don't?
Wonder,
oh, wow.
I'm a physical shopper. I tell everybody this. I've got to touch it.
Mm-hmm.
So what I could, though, do is I could, let's say, go to Walmart and or wherever, and I see an item, right? Let's say Shields. I go to Shields. I see an item. I physically touch it. I know that's the one I want. Then I will maybe go home and see if Amazon's got it for $5 cheaper or something like that. Because it does seem like that you can get better deals if you really do shop online on pricing. But I need to physically hold something before I buy it.
That's a really great way to make sure you know what you are getting and whether it's right for you. And a lot of times we'll get something, if you're just shopping on Amazon, you don't get that experience and you end up returning it or regretting what you bought or something like that.
Right.
So it's a really good idea to go out and spend the time because then your brain is working through, do I really want this? As you were describing about your experience shopping.
Well, you're a lot of fun on a shopping trip.
Yeah.
I'll
really?
Avoid you.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm the one that usually wants to go to the store. My wife is telling me, no, you should call them to see if they have it first.
Yeah, that's funny. I'm a shopper,
save
too.
Save on the gas, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Usually when I talk to women or you know, like ex-girlfriends or anything, and it's like, I'm the guy who goes out and does the shopping. I like to go out and physically shop and see the stuff and where my money's going. That's just how I am. But I did kind of allude to, you know, my own money before we went to break. And I said, okay, we could talk about this. So, you know, here I am as far as like I'm trying to build my credit. You know, I got divorced 4 years ago and kind of started from scratch. Last year when I bought my very first new Kia, I went in there. It was funny because I was driving a 2000 Honda Civic, and I said, again, those people who drive a 2000 Honda Civic until it goes in the dirt. And I said, I've always wanted a Kia. That's the car I want. That's no matter what I got to do or how long I have to drive this Honda, I'm going to do it until I get to that Kia. Well, I went into Kia, and within 2 hours, I was walking out with a new Kia. It was really weird.
Yeah.
It was odd. But when I went in there, they ran my credit score, and the guy comes back, and he looks at me, and he goes, you don't have a credit score. Like, it just doesn't exist.
That's funny, like, because that's what I'm trying to get to.
Really?
Really. Yeah, I don't have a credit card. I don't borrow any money. We don't owe any money.
Well, yeah. See, this is the thing. Is I was trying to say is basically I was raised by my grandparents.
Right.
And they always said, if you don't have the money for it, don't buy it. Don't buy anything on credit. Now, it seems like everything these days goes on credit score, including your cell phone plans and, you know, I probably even how they take care of you in a hospital at this point. Well, seriously. Or your rent, yeah.
But
exactly.
You're looking more for a way to build your credit in a reliable way, and that's what we were talking about.
Yeah, so what would be some great ways, maybe just some small little things that you can do? Now, I did get a credit card from Bank of America. Mm-hmm. It's a $500 limit on it, and I usually spend about $400, maybe $450, but usually about $400 a month on it.
And so one of the things that I talk with my clients about is using your budget to help control your spending so your credit score goes where you want it to go. You want it to go up, use your budget to help it go up. You want it to go down or get rid of it, use your budget to help you pay off debt, make sure you don't have to live with it or anything like that. In your case, what I would encourage you to do is look at your budget and look at all the things that you can put on your credit card that you reliably pay off every month. And then because you've already budgeted for it, you know you have the cash for it. And you, because your budget has limits on those things, you can plan it so that you're not going over your $500 credit limit.
Oh, smart.
Until you ask for an increase on that limit. Because
Should I ask for that?
If you want to build your credit, that's probably a better idea than not. Because one of the things they look at is your usage of your available credit. And so if you're if you're utilizing near 100% of a low limit, that doesn't look as good as if you're using $500 of, say, a $3,000 limit.
Right.
Your utilization in that case matters, as well as your debt-to-income ratio. But as you are planning for these expenses, as you are only putting on the credit card that which you have already planned for and know can afford, and you're paying it off every month, you're not getting charged interest, you're not losing interest to the credit card companies, and they're looking at you as being like, well, he reliably pays it back. So we are willing to give you a bump on that credit score, which is effectively how they market you as a profit center to bank, everyone that wants to lend you money. How reliably are you going to pay interest to the people that lent you the money?
Right. Okay.
Jay, reliable?
Yeah. So,
well, that Todd Cleary, your
Clary.
Local money coach, wise words, although my cats would never understand this. How do they know?
John had to get the cats on the show, didn't he?
How do they know?
How do they know what? What are your cats doing with your money?
The most expensive food. They won't touch the Costco cat food. Nothing. It has to be the organic, wet pouch.
I don't know. Maybe the organic, wet pouch stuff tastes more like fresh rat kill. I mean,
I don't know.
Maybe they know how much
financials.
They know how expensive the food is, and that's all they'll eat. But well, I'll keep trying.
Todd, I just wonder if your rat population goes down when you buy the Costco stuff.
He's scorned with money, and just like me, I guess the most expensive thing I've had in a long time is Kitty as well.
So, all right, Todd Cleary, what's your phone number, and how can people contact you?
People can reach me at my phone number is 775-530-3394, or you can get to me at my website, financialclaritycoaching.com. If you want to just sit down and have a consultation about where you'd like to go with money and how I might be able to help you achieve those goals, there's a big green book it now for just a free time to sit down and talk.
I'll sit down with you, and get you my favorite $12 Starbucks drink, and we'll just talk over.
Oh dear gosh, he's going to make bad financial decisions already.
It's a lot
Thank
of sugar.
You,
that is.
We're going to break for Fox News now, and we're going to be back talking Railroad Museum.
That's right. Dan Thielen from the Nevada Railroad Museum is on next. It's Live and Local with John and Jay, 99.1 FM Talk and Smith and Mason Valley's 92.3.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news. 99.1 FM Talk. KKFT.
It's live and local with John and Jay, 99.1 FM Talk and Smith and Mason Valley's 92.3. Real quick, let me tell you about a couple things going on. The Sparks Hometown Christmas Parade is today, and you're going to see some issues as far as traffic with rolling closures for the parade. They're going on from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. Westbound Victorian Avenue is going to be closed off from 4th to Pyramid Way. Eastbound 80 Pyramid Highway off-ramp is going to be closed off. Eastbound 80 Rock Boulevard on-ramp and the southbound Pyramid Highway from Prater Way to I-80 off-ramps all closed 12 to 4 and 1 to 4. The eastbound Victorian Avenue, 15th Street, and Victorian Plaza Circle west from the Nugget to C Street are going to be closed. So lots of closures for that Sparks Hometown Christmas Parade today, which we didn't get invited to announce.
On the phone with us is Dan Thielen, Nevada State Railroad Museum. Dan didn't choose the Chug Life. The Chug Life chose him. Chug as in locomotives. Dan, what's at the museum?
Hi, we've got Santa Train going on right now. When Santa Claus is here to visit
right.
all the children and all the grown-up children that are in northern Nevada. And so that's going on today up until 4 o'clock, and it'll go through the next three weekends, Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, that's right. Once a year, a three-day thing with the Santa thing. That is, Dan, do you still have the flat penny machine? That's what I want to know.
It's here, it's operable, and it's fantastic.
Yes! It is fantastic.
Of all
squash your penny down.
Yeah, if you can hear in the background the whistle of the locomotives going by, we've got a small crowd here already. We've got a lot of activities going on for kids and parents, and we've got a couple of vendors here. And with me, I've got Adam Mahalski. He's our curator of education. He's the moral compass down here. He keeps us straight.
So you have a running train today, Dan. The one that goes in the big circle, is it running?
It is. We've got locomotive 25 on, and when the folks get on board, Santa Claus makes a visit through each car, says a few words to every kid, and every person gets a candy cane on their way. On his way through. So they get a chance to write letters to him so they know what they want for Christmas. And if you look close enough and you need it, we've got coal for those people who don't quite measure up either. So we can take care of that.
Dan, I got to tell you, I love it. It's like the theater of the mind right now because you truly can hear the trains passing by you in the background. I mean, it's legitimately either that or you're on a train right now. I'm not sure which one. But it sounds really cool out there. All right, so how what's the times that folks can come out and check out these events throughout the day?
All right, so we have Santa Train going on from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturdays and Sundays for the next three weekends, and so tickets are $5 a person. And if you're a child and can sit on a lap, you're free. So we got that, and then we also have Valley Eats here. And they're a food truck, so we'll have some food. We have Bonfire Coffee here, serving coffee.
Oh,
and
nice.
Also, if you take your ticket from Santa Train and bring it into the museum store, you can get a prize or a discount in the museum store.
You know what's fascinating is going there and the things you find out and learn about the trains in Nevada in the old days. The train. The car behind the locomotive was filled with wood. It was the fuel for the engines. But a full stack would only last 50 miles. And after that, they had to stop and load up to go another 50 miles.
Wow.
And put the wood. Life is easier now. And also, tell the story about how Hollywood saved our Nevada trains, you guys.
That's a great story. We love it because the V&T Railroad, of course, is a northern Nevada. It's such a heritage touch point for us here. And we have a tremendous amount of those items in our collection. I think we're probably the best representative collection of any one railroad on the planet right now because when the railroad went out of business, it went out of business over a long period of time from probably 1915 to 1953. And slowly went out of business, and they did not sell their equipment as they were running out of money. And when they were in the red, they even saved the equipment through two world wars. And after World War One, cowboy movies start getting made out in California, and they started leasing some of the V&T equipment out in California for the cowboy movies, and then so it was saved from the scrapper. Every other railroad got rid of their 19th century stuff by turning it into machine gun bullets or artillery for the wars. And then World War II happens, and the V&T still holds on to their equipment because they're hoping that the next big bonanza is going to happen. We're going to let that train go.
There's that train in the background. Love it.
Well, you know, and that preserved the trains because Hollywood needed them for the cowboy movies. And there's nothing sadder than seeing a picture of an old, decrepit train just sitting there because nobody like you did took the time and love and care to preserve these beauties out there. I've been told you have a haunted train car. Is that true?
You know what? So let's go back to the Hollywood part. But the Hollywood trains, so the trains go out, do the cowboy movies, but that really juiced Hollywood as an activity. So Hollywood was going through a tough time, and you know America had a love of cowboy movies, and the railroads were a big part of that. And so the V&T kind of saved Hollywood, and then when Nevada sees that our heritage is up for sale and is going to be decrepit, like you were saying, John, it got brought back to Nevada one piece at a time. So Hollywood then saved the V&T. And so that's why we have such a tremendous collection, is that little symbiotic relationship of the railroad propping up Hollywood and then Hollywood making Nevada's culture available to
us.
So going back to the haunted part, that's a great story. We've had ghost hunters down here, and I'm telling you, if you wait for the sun to go down, you get into our collections area, it's spooky. And our historians and the shop people, you know, it was a dangerous place to be around a railroad. Probably every locomotive has a kill record on it, certainly by animals. So if we've got ghost cows and stuff through Washoe Valley getting whacked, that happened. But it was a tough place to work. And we think that some people met their demise on the railroad, although it's not very well recorded.
You know, that is scarier than Amtrak, actually, which, by the way, I found that their timetables are really just guidelines and not actual times. But anyway, getting off track. You still have the quail crossing?
Yes, there's a quail crossing we have here at the museum. We do get a lot of quail that are down here. And so every so often, you just got to watch out for the quail as well as the trains as you're going through the museum grounds.
All right. Well, one more time, guys, tell us about the big event with Santa there so folks just tuning in can hear about this and bring their kids out and where you are. Let's hear it.
Santa Train is here for the next three weekends. You can buy your tickets here. They're $5 a person, and we're going up until 3 o'clock every day, although we won't leave people standing in line. So get here before we stop selling tickets, and we'll make sure you get on the train. The next three weekends, we've got a tremendous museum store that has that gifts that you can't get any other place. And so that's a definite stop. And come on up to the Interpretive Center because we've got the Carson City Model Railroaders. They put on a tremendous show up in the Interpretive Center. So we'd love to have you come up, grab a snack, and then you can get your photo taken in front of the Inyo. It's an annual thing for folks every year. But come on up to the museum. We'd love to have you. It's a spectacular day today. And if you come towards the afternoon and we get in the snow, you're going to see it'll be like a time machine. It is going to be a beautiful day.
Hey, Dan, you're down there by Carson Street and Fairview, aren't you?
That's correct. 2180 South Carson Street, Carson City.
Okay.
It's at the roundabout.
Do they still have that deal where you buy the Nevada Museum Pass and you can not only go to your place, but also to the other museums in Carson City and Reno? Or Carson, I think.
I'm We'll have to answer that a little bit later, John.
We'll figure it all out.
Help people get to see what they need to see. And
All right. Well, Dan, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Make sure you get down to the Nevada Railroad Museum and check out their Christmas celebrations this year. We're going to be back. We got more to discuss right here on Live and Local with John and Jay on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3.
99.1 FM Talk. This is Talk Radio. The original social media. KKFT.
It's live and it is local right here on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3. 775-884-9910 is our number if you'd like to call in and talk to us, if you have something interesting to say. Also, you can listen to our podcast at the end of each and every episode at 991fmtalk.com. Just click the podcast tab. John?
We just heard that Santa is now at the Nevada State Railroad Museum. And I just saw Santa the night before last at, you want the Christmas spirit? See this show at the El Dorado? It's a Christmas show. They do it every year. They put on this great stage show, and there's a lot of people in this show. It's kind of like big budget, yeah, like over 20 people on stage, including Santa.
Really?
Yeah.
So, well, this is the media night that we...
It's open to everybody now. And I think... I think the show is on every night at the El Dorado until Christmas time. The kids were just adored this show. It was a blast. I mean, it was like going back in time to when you were a kid. It really was outstanding.
That far back?
I'm pretty picky about shows.
What did you say, Craig? That's producer Craig there. Hello.
That far back, John?
You shut up.
Well, hold on now. All right. So,
but anyway, so I'm talking to Jay about this, and Jay, and I said, "Hey, Jay, what's the best concert you ever saw?" Jay hates concerts.
Yeah, I don't like concerts. I don't like. I know I'm kind of weird. Like, well, here's the thing: it's crowds. I can't be in a crowd. I can be on the stage in front of 30,000 people. That's not a problem.
But your
I have
favorite
no problem.
Music artist, if no, they come to
no,
town,
no. You're, the last there's literally only two groups now that I think that I would that I would even try to go and see. One of them, Christy McVie just died, so I can't go and see Fleetwood Mac again. So I guess that final tour finally really did happen.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
By the way, rest in peace to her.
Yeah.
And the other one is a group, and everybody's just like, "What?" But I just think these guys are such musicians. The Pet Shop Boys. If they were ever to come to the United States, I would have to go and find a.
I would never take you for a Pet Shop Boy fan.
You would never. You're right. Nobody ever would. But I absolutely love all of their albums. It's an odd thing of mine. But so we started talking about that, and of course, Media Night, El Dorado. We all got invited. Thank you very much to Megan and the crew over there for inviting us to the event. I wasn't able to go. I was on the air. You kind of took my place yesterday and went there with Kathy. Mm-hmm. You guys got to enjoy.
Yeah, it was a good show. Yeah. Really, really good show. I recommend you bring your kids out there and really show them what Christmas, how it should be celebrated in song and stuff. I got to mention, compared to the shows I saw in Las Vegas when I was on that trip, I saw this thing called Michael Jackson One. It's a Cirque du Soleil show.
A Michael Jackson
on
show?
On Michael Jackson. I did not like it. The tickets were like $120 to see this thing. And it's just all, you know, Michael Jackson on acrobats and a silly subplot of a guy trying to steal
like
his glove. And
crotch grabbing.
We always see Bill Maher in a concert. And
that's right.
I like Bill Maher. I think he has a lot of common sense. A lot of people look at him like he's a lefty. He's really not. And it's funny to see him in concert because he'll do his first part with the Trump jokes and everything, and the crowd is laughing and living it up and everything. Then he starts in on the other side. I mean, he takes no prisoners, and everybody is in stunned silence for a while.
Right,
and there's a handful of us cheering that part of the show.
I would have stood up in the middle of the audience if I could have been in the audience.
And the third show we saw was at the Bellagio. Mayfair Supper Club, where you have supper and they have these entertainers like they do in the...
Is it like medieval?
Like, no, no. Like you see in the 1920s movies where dinner clubs were like this, where you have the singer in the middle, in the round, and entertaining diners who are dressed up and everything.
That's cool.
It was cool, but I've never spent so much for dinner in my life. $333 for the two of us. And we're not pigs.
Wow. That's insane. I mean, those are...
We ordered Chandon champagne, where you usually get that for, what, $23 a bottle? It was $120 at the Mayfair Supper Club. But you got to show the wife a good time. And it was a good time. It was a good show. Jay is still stunned at $333.
Yeah, I know. Well, as I said earlier, I'm a baller on a budget. So
I was going to ask you if I could borrow a 10.
Yeah, for the tip. Oh, my gosh.
Well, you're not married, so you can afford it.
I can afford it? I don't think so. That's for every other reason I can't. And I have two teen kids.
But save your money. Don't see the Michael Jackson one. Michael Jackson does not belong on a trapeze,
I'm just
folks.
Not a show person, John. It's just even if I didn't like crowds or whatnot, I'm just not a show person. But I mean, you know, it's Christmas. You get into the Christmas spirit. Yeah. I just didn't, Thursday, of course, I was working. Mm-hmm. And I'd rather celebrate Christmas, not Chris Payne. So I didn't want to go and deal with that. Anyway. I'm pretty serious.
Getting his digs in. Play some Pet Shop Boys for this young man, would you, Craig?
Home and dry. All right, next. Live and local. John and Jay, 99.1 FM Talk.